Well, like I said, we're now at the fourth weekend of Advent. And this weekend, we themed the weekend peace. And we've been talking about it in the candlelight liturgy just now, in the candle lighting. We talked about peace as the fourth candle. The angels came and proclaimed peace on that evening to the shepherds. Will you please stand with me and we'll read together from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. Luke 2, verses 8 to 15. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name because of what He has done for us. And so, Father, this morning, as we come and consider your word and consider what you have done, Father, bless our hearts. Grant us hearts open to hear what you have to say to us. Grant us that we may be drawn to your life. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our midst explicitly to move upon our hearts. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it was Christmas and a little boy and a little girl were in church and the little boy was singing his favorite carol, Silent Night, which we will sing later on. And the boy concluded Silent Night with these words, "Sleep in heavenly beings." No, the little sister said, "Not beans, peace." Peace, not the green kind, but peace. We all long for peace in life. Pastor Daniel last weekend said that there are probably two things that all of us long for in life, truth, and he said peace. We all long for peace. And yet we know, sadly, peace is lacking in our lives. Peace is lacking in our world. We cannot say that we know peace. Yes, in Malaysia, we thank God that we have, in the last half a century, we have been free from any kind of military conflict. We've been free from war. But we're not free from conflict. We cannot really say we have peace because our hearts are troubled. Every day when you turn to the news, your hearts get a little bit troubled. So when the angelic host sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests," God, the angels were declaring God's desire for humanity, that humanity would know peace. And that desire came to be fulfilled on that first Christmas morning. Peace. Peace on earth. My big idea this morning is quite simple. It's simply that Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, is for peace on earth. Now, I've just contradicted myself. Because I said, hey, we talk about peace a lot, everybody wants peace. But we don't seem to be experiencing peace in our world. And for some of us, we recognize we're not really experiencing peace in our lives. So what did it mean when the angels declared peace on earth? On whom? For whom God's favor rests? On the one hand, we say, God, there's peace that came to Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, we know that in our world, there is not exactly peace. Well, perhaps we should ask the question, what peace are we talking about in the very first place? So almost as an echo from my message the last two weeks ago, we need to talk about what peace is. And firstly, peace is more than just peace. Peace is more than just an absence of conflict. You know, I noted that last weekend, I'm preparing for this message, thinking about stuff, right? And Pastor Daniel closed the service with a benediction, with the Aaronic blessing. Now, this is the Aaronic blessing, okay? From Numbers chapter 26, Numbers 6, verses 23 to 26. God tells Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. You know how it goes. And the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. That's the Aaronic blessing. It is also ironic because when these words were given, Israel was preparing to go into war. So this peace is not just an absence of conflict. It is something more. The word for peace in Hebrew is shalom. Now, many of us know this. That's why sometimes we greet each other, shalom, shalom. Now, in Arabic, it would be salam, right? And the Malays, the Muslims would greet each other, okay? Salam, the same word, shalom. But what is the Hebrew understanding of the word shalom? Well, shalom has got this notion of being whole, being complete, being together. This is a definition I pulled out of Google, actually, okay? But from some Hebrew dictionary, okay? So shalom has this notion of peace. Yes, that's a bit we understand, the tranquility, right? The peace, the harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, well-being. Today is the word we use, or wellness and tranquility of heart. So shalom is a big word. It encompasses so many things. When we wish someone shalom, when we pray for someone to have shalom, we are praying that they would be well in every aspect. They would be well fed, they would be well in their body, they would be well at heart and mind in relationships, there would be peace. It is a great word and a great blessing. So the Aaronic blessing is a tremendous blessing. That is shalom. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek New Testament writers, you have used the word Irene, from which some of you get your names, Irene. Okay, although they used the Greek word, but in their minds, they were conveying this Hebrew understanding of the word shalom. You know, shalom can refer to things that are different, and yet they come together in a sense of completeness and harmony. You know, some of you may have closets that look like this. Isn't it better for it to look like this? Right? When you see the picture on the right, you feel a sense of, When you see the picture on the left, you feel a bit of, You feel a bit uncomfortable. Some of you are itching to lie. Like, well, shalom is like the one on the right. There is a sense of harmony, a settledness, and a sense of, Shalom as a verb, it means to restore to wholeness. It's like going from the left to the right. It's to take what is missing and perhaps restore it to being whole, like this. This is a castle in the ruins of a castle in North Ireland, Dunluce, I think it's called. It was built in the 1500s, so that's like five centuries ago, okay? This is the ruins, right? We no longer, you look at it and say, oh, very interesting, huh? Nah, you know, that's been kind, like, Some people travel all the way there to see a pile of rocks. You all wonder, why? Nice, meh? Well, we all try to imagine the glory. Well, a British firm took some of their money and they did restore it digitally. And this is what they say it probably looks like. So much nicer, right? So much better when they say, wow, this is when it's restored, it looks like that. Whoa. Now that is worth going to see, lah. Not the ruins, lah. I mean, okay, lah, some of us still do that, lah. But that gives us a sense of what shalom is. This is shalom. Restoring what is this broken down. Restoring what it has become and not what it ought to be. But restoring it to what it ought to be. This is the idea of shalom. Now I have my own little shalom story. There's something in my fridge that I love going to. Now my wife has an interest in teapots. Okay, so she collects teapots. Okay, not a whole lot lah, but she likes teapots. Okay, she went from porcelain, now cast iron. Cast iron very good. Okay, cast iron don't break. Now the porcelain ones, wah, trouble, you know. They get chipped lah and all this. So whenever that happens, and teacups also lah, whenever that happens, I go to my fridge, and this thing makes me happy. Super glue. Right, so I glue back the teapot, porcelain teapot cover. Like, wow, so satisfying to see from few pieces become back one piece and you get put back on the teapot. You know, or the teacup handle that has fallen off, that's cracked and fallen off. Able to glue it back and say, whoa, can go back. Shalom. Restoring what was broken to making it whole again. I think we all wish there was super glue in more all of our lives. I wish I could go to my fridge and take out some kind of a super glue to fix some of the broken situations life presents us with. That's what shalom's about. Shalom is about wholeness. So when we do the Aaronic blessing again, when you hear it again, please understand this. It is a tremendous blessing. So will we read it together aloud and look at your neighbor, okay, and wish them shalom. All right, let's do this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom. Shalom. Shalom is needed when there is brokenness, especially when there is brokenness. Shalom is the opposite of brokenness, wholeness and brokenness. And with all the brokenness, there is a lot of restoring that is needed. So my second point is, actually we need a whole lot of wholeness. There's a lot of wholeness needed in all our lives. More than castle ruins and more than teapot covers and teacups, we need, so to speak, the superglue of shalom in relationships. And these relationships can be personal, can be societal, tribal, even national, but most importantly, spiritual. We need, firstly, shalom with God. Shalom with God. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have shalom with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Shalom. Now, when you read Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, because we have been justified by faith, we have shalom with God. Suggests that before, there was no shalom. And which is true, because in Romans 5:10, Paul writes, we were God's enemies. We were God's enemies. Our relationship with God was that of enmity, hostility. We have been running away from God because of what happened in Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned against God by choosing to follow what they wanted rather than to obey God's command, That was the beginning of rebellion. And in that rebellion, Adam and Eve ran away from God. God didn't run away from Adam and Eve. Okay, if you read the story of Genesis carefully, God came to Adam and Eve. And God didn't run away from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve ran and hid. And we have been running and hiding from God all our lives until we encountered Jesus Christ and yielded to Him. The Bible tells us that sin has separated us from God. And that is really the origin of all our problems. That with sin caused a separation of us from God, and there lies all of our brokenness, and hence the need for shalom with God. You know, this word shalom is more than just a cessation of hostilities. It's not just the end and a ceasefire. They will say, we will lay down arms, we won't fight you, God, anymore. And God say, okay, I won't come after you anymore with a tomahawk. But some of us have that kind of mindset, right? We think God is after us all the time. You know, be careful, I don't whack you with a baseball bat because you did not behave. Like that Christmas song, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town. You better be good. So if you're not good, God's going to whack you. God never came after us with a tomahawk. God came after us with loving arms, but we've been running away. But shalom with God is more than a laying down on our part, a laying down of arms. Shalom is a restoration of a loving relationship. God loves us all. And God is out to do us good, to bless us. You know, that echoes from Jeremiah 29:11. I have plans to do you good, not to harm you, to do you good. So when the Aaronic blessing we read just now says, the Lord turn His face toward you. Lord make His face shine upon you. You know what that means? The Lord show you His favor. In many societies, right? When people turn their back on you, you see the expression, the English expression? They turn their back on you, basically they're saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you, right? But the Aaronic blessing is the Lord turn His face toward you and His face shine upon you. Shalom is God's favor. Shalom is God's loving embrace. Shalom is God with God. Is knowing God's love and experiencing it. You know, I from the years of just listening to people, I know that many Christians doubt that God sincerely loves them. I don't know, maybe that's you. Maybe that's how you think at the back of your mind. You try to agree with Scripture that, yeah, God loves me, God loves me. But in the back of your mind, in the quiet, in the darkness of your heart, the stillness of your heart, you wonder, did this thing happen to me because God doesn't love me? That is the most common thing that I hear Christians say. When something happens, they say, I don't know what's going on. And they feel that God is not loving them. God is not in any way after to punish you. Even when God disciplines us, He disciplines us because He loves us. Because we know that if we continue in our ways, we are going down the path of destruction. Better that He stopped us before we destroy ourselves. I've come to conclude that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is the mercy of God for myself. That God in His mercy would convict me of my wrong before my wrong destroys me. That would be the mercy of God. It would not be merciful of God to Him to allow us to do things that would destroy our lives and the lives of the people around us. That would not be merciful. Therefore, in some sense, when we hear about the idea of Jewish, in the old time shepherds, what they would do with a sheep that's constantly, a lamb or a sheep that's constantly running and running off and been rebellious, not staying with the flock, they would break its leg. It would break its leg to keep it from running away out of mercy. Shalom with God. That's what Christ came to do for all of us, that we might have peace with God. That's the first thing, shalom with God. And with shalom with God comes all these other shalom. Secondly, shalom with ourselves. Shalom with ourselves. Sin not only separated us from God, but it split us. It fractured us as persons. We have a fractured sense of personhood. We have a fractured sense of identity. Sin separated us from ourselves. You know, we are conflicted beings. We are. We are conflicted beings. Have you ever heard yourself saying, or heard someone else saying, why am I like this? I hate myself. Have you said it? If not aloud, in your own mind, I hate myself for doing this. That's inner conflict. Have you ever felt that you are never good enough despite the fact that you do well and people say, hey, that's really good. But inside your heart, no, not good enough. Maybe because you've been raised in an environment that just filled with negativity, filled with criticism. That you're always putting yourself down. When you repeatedly hurt the people you love and you hate yourself for it. And you always wonder, why do I keep doing it? We are all conflicted beings. Just like Paul. You know, this is from Romans chapter 7. Right? Paul is trying to describe the struggle within when he, as a Jewish rabbi, sought so hard to live by the law. And he says he's done very well in another part of the scriptures. But he says he describes the inner turmoil. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. And can you hear the pain in this next words? What a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. Paul describes a conflict that I think most of us can identify. The frustrations we have with ourselves. This is the inner turmoil. And this inner turmoil, unfortunately, is the cause for many people for mental illness, for depression, for all forms of mental health problems. And unfortunately, for some people, mental health problems end in suicide. You know, the World Health Organization estimates that each year, between 800,000 to 1 million people commit suicide. You know, there's an infographic I found. It just summarizes in simplicity quickly. It says more people have died from suicide than from war and homicide. Okay, that's what they say. But what is true, and I've read this in different places, that teen suicides are on the rise. Okay, there is one death. There's one suicide, one completed suicide every 40 seconds in the world. WHO estimates, they predict that in 2020, this rate would be one suicide, completed suicide in 20 seconds. And that's frightening. Mental health issues are the cause of this. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the age group between 15 to 29, second leading cause of death. Mental health disorders often are the cause, or at least the presenting conditions to someone who's completed suicide. What's also a scary statistic is for every completed suicide, there are 20 others unsuccessful. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this to say, this is basically evidence that people suffer inner turmoil. I know what it's like to see someone you love is tortured within, to the point where they say ending their life is a good thing for everybody else. That's so sad. But it is just simply the evidence that we all suffer inner turmoil. Not every one of us will suffer inner turmoil to the extent that we would consider taking our own lives. But many of us suffer turmoil where we get depressed. Now, I put up these things about suicide, and I'm not here to talk about suicide. I'm talking here about shalom, wholeness. But suicide is evidence of the lack of wholeness. Suicide is evidence of utter brokenness to the point where people have lost hope completely. Now, if you know of someone, or if you yourself are contemplating self-harm and or suicide, please talk to someone, okay? If you don't know who to talk to the pastors here. Come talk to me. If you're too afraid to come and talk to me, talk to the pastors in DMC, at least call up the befrienders, okay? Go and check up their website, call up the befrienders, but talk to someone. We all suffer turmoil inwardly. And Christ came so that we may have shalom with self. You know, today some of you may be going through difficult circumstances in life. I don't know, it's the end of the year, you know, stuff happens around New Year, rumors may be going around your department may be closing down, and you're wondering, if my department closed down, will I lose my job? How am I going to pay the bills? And straight away, the faces of your family, your spouse, your children pop into your head. And you're terrified as to what might happen. Your business is not doing so well. You know that in a few more months, if you don't, sales don't improve, you will have to slash staff or even shutter the business. These things all causes great deal of turmoil. I know business people often do not sleep well because they worry about their businesses 24/7. Maybe it's a marriage that is breaking down. These are all difficult situations. These are all situations that create turmoil in our hearts. Christ came that we may have shalom in our lives. Firstly, with God. Secondly, with ourselves. You know, Philippians chapter 4 tells us that if we're in times when we are anxious, he said to, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the next verse is amazing. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. It says more than says God will give you peace. It says God will put peace around your heart like a garrison of soldiers that will protect your heart against the turmoil that comes from allowing anxiety to overtake us. Christ came to give us shalom. That's what Jesus said in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, shalom. Shalom with self. Do you have shalom this morning? Inwardly. Are you at peace with yourself? But more than peace, more than shalom with God, shalom with self. We need shalom with others. You know, one of the most difficult things in life, I would rank it the highest, one of the most difficult things in life is turmoil in our relationships. Doesn't it hurt the most when the one you love and your relationship with the one you love the most is broken? doesn't it hurt the most? You don't mind if your enemies hate you, like, ah, you kind of expect that. Ah, you know, they're angry with you, yeah, so what? But when it happens with your loved one, you hurt. When relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your family, with your parents, when those relationships are broken and there is no wholeness in those relationships, that's when it really hurts. And I know that many of us go through life with that brokenness in our lives. Maybe we've just gotten so used to it, we say, this is it, law. You know, like they say, this is as good as it gets. But Jesus came to bring peace on earth for those on whom His favor rests. In these parts of our lives where there is brokenness and there is pain, we need the shalom of God in these relationships. We need the Prince of Peace in our lives. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it reads, "For He Himself, Christ Jesus, is our peace, our shalom, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." When it talks about the two groups there, these were in Paul's time, the two groups that would have never sat down together and shared a meal of friendship. Never. And this would be Jews and everybody else. These two groups. And Paul says, Christ, who is our shalom, has put these two groups together. Through Christ, these two groups can now come together and become one. Because He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Shalom. Shalom with others. Jesus came to break down those barriers in our relationships, to bridge the gaps, to bring peoples together. When peoples who were formerly fighting each other, hating each other, experience the shalom with God and shalom with self would be immensely placed, well placed to share shalom with each other. I think this is the reason why in the New Testament there is a great emphasis on one another. This is the emphasis of the epistles, of the apostles in the epistles, when they say, love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another. Be kind to one another. Because it makes no sense for us to say, oh, I've got shalom with God, I've got shalom with myself, but I hate you. Because it's the very denial of our shalom with God when we cannot seek shalom with one another. Therefore, the Church of Jesus Christ is the place where the shalom with one another is most expected to be seen. I am often reminded, you know, we can think of ourselves in our personal witness, you know, we go and share Christ here, share Christ there. Great. But when we get together, a cell group, church, people serving together in ministry, if we do not demonstrate shalom there, then the words we utter about, hey, brother, you know, friend, you know, you need to accept Jesus in your life, those words are hollow. Because they do not see the peace and the shalom in our lives with one another. Because if we as the people of God know the shalom of God, shalom with self, we need to evidence, we need to recognize that shalom need to be evidenced in our relationships. That the Church of Jesus Christ is to be the community of shalom first. That is the emphasis I find in the New Testament. We can preach peace, but if we don't demonstrate peace and shalom, those words are empty. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to follow in His footsteps, to not only have peace with
fellow brothers and sisters, but we are also there to make peace. That when peace is not there, when relationships in our community of disciples of Jesus Christ is broken, we are all called to be the ones to make peace. And beyond that, we are called, just as today is a candlelight service, right? Pastor Chris said, why do we do this? To remind us that Christ came into the world as the light of the world, but also to remind us that each one of us has an individual candle, that the mission of light has been passed on to you and I. That the mission of light, of bringing hope, love, joy, and now peace, has been passed on to us. That wherever we are, wherever we go, we are to bring that light. We are to bring peace. We are to be the ones to promote shalom and well-being and wellness in our relationships, whether in our families, in our workplaces. We as disciples of Jesus Christ have the responsibility and duty and the charge to bring that light into that dark space. You know, just now you didn't get to see it, but I saw it. When the auditorium was darkened and you all guys held up the light, it's kind of silly to say, but do you realize that darkness cannot quench light? It is light that pushes away darkness. You know, we may think that, I mean, we got a tiny little light lah, and this whole auditorium of darkness, what is that tiny little light going to do? Sure. But around that tiny little light, there's light. We may think that our individual efforts as a peacemaker may say, this is so bad. Things are so bad. What's my contribution, right, going to do? What's it going to make? So small. But your contribution is just like that little candlelight in a sea of darkness. Oh, you may not light up everything, but you bring light where there is needed. So take your light and be in that place of darkness and let the light shine. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to maintain, keep, build, make shalom with each other. Because we have been given everything we need in order that we might do that. Firstly, shalom with God, shalom within ourselves. We then now create shalom with others. Oh, may our Christmas gatherings be a demonstration of shalom. Demonstration of shalom in saying words like, sorry. Saying words like, I really appreciate you. Saying sorry, we can have a great relationship together. I really appreciate you. And build shalom. We need a whole lot of wholeness. We need shalom with God. We need shalom with self. But praise God, He allows us to create shalom with others. But lastly, shalom on earth. Shalom on earth. Finally, there will be not only the cessation of hostilities on earth, but there will be wholeness. There will be wholeness. Now, some of us will be wondering, really? There will be shalom on earth? Well, this shalom on earth is not yet. It's not yet. But there will be shalom on earth. And this shalom is what Christ ultimately, when He returns again, that shalom will be evidenced. You know, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, the narrator just now read that at the beginning of the service, right? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will be the one that will bring peace. And a couple of verses down, it says, and his government and his peace will have no end. In other words, an everlasting shalom. An everlasting shalom. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Nope. We ain't seen that shalom. Because this shalom will come at the end of the age when Christ returns. You know, our earth, not just the earth itself, but our entire system of society is in turmoil. I watch where the world is going, and yeah, okay, not exactly, very hard to say hopeful, not exactly on the uptrend, because there are many things that are on the downtrend. With the rise of nationalism, with the legitimization of racism, all these things, not good for us as a humanity. Hey, and we're not doing the environment any good either, you know. I mean, people may deny that there's such a thing as climate change, but I think it's a bit hard to deny there, right? What's warm is getting warmer. What's cold is getting colder. Things are happening when it shouldn't happen. Winter is coming earlier. Summer seems to be longer. When the east coast of the United States is freezing blizzards, on the west coast is raging fires. Islands are disappearing because sea levels are rising. Corals are dying because we are polluting the earth. And climate scientists are wondering, when will this system begin to completely break down and it will be a quick downhill? I don't know. But what I do know, the Bible tells me, is one day when Christ returns, shalom will be restored to the earth. The earth will be made whole, the new earth. Things like that would change, but not right away, not now. That's at the end. Shalom on earth. You know, Colossians 1:19, it says there in verse 20, and through him to reconcile to him all things, whether on earth, things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ will reconcile all things to himself, things on earth and things in heaven. And this is about a cosmic reconciliation. It is not just about our being reconciled to God, it's about the creation being reconciled to God. That's shalom. Shalom, the God's shalom, is not only just for us. All creation, Paul writes, groans for that day, groans for this day when Christ will return and the shalom of God will be seen on all the earth. The last point I make is probably the last point that I've been saying throughout. Basically, we need the Prince of Peace. We need the Prince of Peace, Jesus. This shalom will not come with peace treaties and negotiations. This shalom comes only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, for shalom with God, we need Jesus. Isn't that what we read? It says, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. For shalom with self, given Paul's example in Romans chapter 7, this is the verse that comes after his pained expression of, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And in verse 25, he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no shalom with self other than through Jesus Christ. And for shalom with others, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says that for he himself, Christ Jesus, is our peace. He is the one that makes possible for warring parties as it were, rival tribes to become one. Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And in Colossians 1:19, we read just now, reconciling all things to Himself, this cosmic reconciliation is only possible because of His blood, because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So all this to say that we need the Prince of Peace. We're talking about Christmas. And I'm saying that the only way we'll have shalom with God is through Jesus Christ. Shalom with self, shalom with others, shalom on earth is made possible through Jesus Christ by His blood on the cross. Without the cross, there will be no shalom. But without Christmas, there will be no cross. Christ came into this world to bring us peace on earth. I want to share with you a closing quotation from an American theologian, Cornelius Platinga. He says, he writes in his book, not the way it's supposed to be, "The webbing together of God, humans, and all creation, God, humans, and all creation, in justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom." They're coming together. Okay, the webbing together. This is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. We call it peace in English, but it means far more than a mere peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies, which I've been saying. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. Shalom, in other words, is the way things are to be. Shalom is the way things ought to be. And when things are not what it ought to be now, is where we need to recognize we need the shalom of Christ. That shalom that comes from Christ alone. So as we look forward to Christmas morning in a few days' time, may we all go in recognizing that we need the shalom of God. That as we often say at Holy Communion, we look forward to Christ coming again. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And I pray that when we read that, when we say that the next time, we will say that with anticipation, "Lord Jesus, come. Come again soon, because we want shalom on earth." The Messiah will come again soon.
Shut. Church, can I invite you to stand to your feet? And let's sing this carol again. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round your virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shed sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God saying to you? Perhaps you're already a Christian here this morning, but you don't have that sense of ease in the presence of God. You're not really experiencing the shalom that is already yours in Christ Jesus with God, because somehow you think that God has turned His face away from you. I want to encourage you to say, hey, God turns His face toward you because you are His child. In a few moments, we're going to sing again. But if God is speaking to you, whether it's about you and Him, or about you struggling with the turmoils that you suffer because of situations in your life right now, a crisis that stirs your heart. Even as I say this, I have faces in my mind about people I am in pain for. And I'm asking, Lord, may a shalom be upon them. People who are struggling with anxiety, people who are struggling with turmoil within their hearts, people who are suffering from the brokenness in their relationships. These may be people that you will, in the next couple of days, go to see. And you want shalom for them, and you want shalom with them. If God is moving in your heart that way, let me encourage you, let someone pray with you. The pastors will come and be in front, but as we sing again, come, let the Holy Spirit minister to you through the ministry of prayer. Don't wait. Allow God to restore shalom into your heart.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Some of you are facing the end of the year with not much anticipation because you have a crisis on the horizon. It's a health crisis. It's a financial crisis. And you're worried. So when we talk about shalom, instead you know anxiety. Instead you know struggle. We are gathered here today. Paul writes, the author of the book of Hebrews writes, we are gathered so that we might encourage one another. So if your heart is troubled, let someone pray with you. That's what we're here for. Come and allow God to minister to you. If there's someone in your life that you have a broken relationship with and you want to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And you may be true. You really don't know what to do. You're at your wit's end. But you can begin by asking for prayer. You can begin by deciding, Lord, I want to make the first moves. So will you allow God to minister to you and into your situation? But just letting someone else pray for you. Okay? So we're going to sing one more time, and after that, we're going to close the service. But even after we close the service, you're welcome to come and receive prayer. Because that's why we are gathered together to do. Okay? Don't wait. Let someone pray with you. Let's sing again.
We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory in Christ the Lord.
Come and let's adore.
Close the service. If you're a Christian here, you're not a Christian here this morning, and you want to find out a little bit more about what it means to have peace with God and peace within yourself, we're here and we are available to talk to you. Come up to me, come up to one of the pastors right here in front, okay? Or say to someone who's next to you and say, hey, how tell me a little bit about what it means to have peace with God. We'll be so glad to just talk to you. If not, come to the welcome space. There we will talk to you as well, okay? But even after we end, okay, if you want to receive prayer, just come forward, all right? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you posture yourself toward us in love, in kindness, in grace. Father, we thank you for all the love you've poured into our lives and for this restoration of this loving relationship with you. Father, admittedly, we don't always recognize it. We don't always acknowledge it. Sometimes we forget it, that you love us. And you love us long before we loved you. And Father, you love us today. Father, I pray for myself, my brothers and sisters here, that this season of Christmas, may we be the bearers of light into the situations we find ourselves in, that we will be the ones that will bring hope, joy, love, peace into that place. Just like the little candle lights that we have, Father, may we shine in those places of darkness. As small as our light may seem to be, you have called us to keep it alight. So, Father, into our homes, into our workspaces, into our parties and dinners, in our get-togethers, into our families, we pray shalom. We pray your peace upon our homes. We pray your peace upon our nation. We pray your peace upon our church, upon this community of believers. We pray your peace on earth. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Thank you. Amen. The celebration is over, but the front area remains open for prayer. If you want prayer, please come forward. The pastors will pray for you. Have a great day. We will see you on Christmas morning.